That's how you know I'm going to be a crazy ass old person.
Oh my God, yeah. You're gonna
I'm going to be one of
you're
those
gonna
5G
be a,
people.
you're going to be an old man
One of
who's
those
just like
5G people.
you're going to be wrapped in technology though, Kev. You're going to have like fucking hoverboard shoes or just something out of this world technology wise, like this old
But I'm
Asian
like,
man.
I'm way too old to have all this stuff.
That's true.
Like, don't use it properly. Like, I use a hoverboard, but I like break my leg while I'm trying to do it just because I'm like old and frail. I'm
Hell
like,
no.
Grandpa, what are you doing?
Kevin's going to be the old man
Nope.
that is the equivalent to the old guy who wears 24 karat diamond chains and literally has his ears pierced and, wears Rolex watches just for the hell of it because he thinks he looks cool. And that's going to be Kevin. Kevin's going to be dripping in two iPhones, an iPad. He's going to be rolling around on a hoverboard. He's going to be the geekiest, most technologically savvy old man. It's going to be, I'm so here for it.
Oh,
Yeah,
love
same.
it. If you
Kev
guys want to know what
also.
kind of person Harry's going to be when he's older, if you guys have ever seen the old Twitter video of that, the old man who's driving down the road with his like, he's like, this ain't water, Playboy, this is vodka. You know what I'm talking about? We don't drink water in here, Playboy.
They don't know. It's
This is great. Yep.
That's one of my
That's gonna
favorite
be Harry.
of all time. No, I'm gonna be the old person that exclusively calls people younger than me nephew, no matter who you
You're gonna call him young fella. Listen to you, young fella.
are. That's
Take
hilarious.
some nephew. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is the Catching Up Podcast. I'm your host, one of your co-hosts, Harrison Plaza, aka Hot Chocolate, aka the Honey Roasted African. And I'm back once again with a few of my dearest but not always nearest friends. I'm here with the Filipino Fonzie, Ryan Peterson. How are you this week, brother?
Yo, I'm great, man. Feeling good, feeling live. The MJ documentary's got me hyped still, RIP
Yes,
to the GOAT.
absolutely. Yes. The Last Dance, living up to the hype. But we'll get into that in a minute. We're also here with the Vietnamese vixen, Mr. Roundface himself, Kevin Tran. How are you, brother?
Pew pew, feeling around, real round today.
The quarantine got him in his snack bag.
Yeah, they always talk about the freshman 15 or the boyfriend 15. They don't tell you about the quarantine 15. You know what I'm saying?
The quarantine
Quarantine
15,
15 is
exactly.
real. That is real. Yeah, what do you think? Do you think everyone's just snacking for days, or do you think people are actually like, since they're at home all the time? Now, who am I kidding? If you're in comfy clothes, you're probably eating at random hours of the day. Let's be real.
That's what I'm
100%.
saying. People haven't put on like a proper pair of pants in 28 days. Like they're
I'm on that pair of
definitely
pants right now. You don't know. You know what I'm saying?
you ain't wearing pants. People are definitely not meal prepping or eating correctly. They're definitely snacking.
No, absolutely. It's just
Yeah.
like it's the access to. I'm actually finding that I'm eating meals that I don't normally eat throughout the day just because I can.
Right.
You
Right.
know?
There's
Like
because everyone also like went to their parents' house. Everybody's chilling at home. Like they definitely have access to food that they normally wouldn't buy themselves, that your mom or dad's been buying for years. They're definitely snacking. I have a good friend who I saw on their Instagram story the other day. She literally got quoted and said, "Food is the only thing I have to look forward to these days." I said, "Wow, it's getting rough out here in these streets."
Damn.
But I kind of felt her. That was the thing. I kind of felt
Was gonna say,
her. But yeah,
No, absolutely.
boys, it's good to be back once
Thank you.
again. It always feels right when we get the podcast going.
100%.
Sloan, you touched on it. I know you watched that Last Dance documentary.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. What were your thoughts? I know you live in Chicago. What's the pulse on Chicago right now? Obviously, without being outside, is there just an overwhelmingly energized shitty of Chi-Town?
I would say, truthfully, that it encouraged people to go outside because I went and took a walk today and the city was actually kind of buzzing. There was just a lot of people in line waiting to go into Target and waiting to go into Walgreens. But they were out. MJ brought it out of everybody. MJ brought that killer instinct back into everybody's lives. They're like, you know what? Fuck this coronavirus. I'm going
Yeah,
to
they were
stand
like,
ass in line. I don't care what's out there.
MJ had his flu game. I'm gonna have my flu day. You know exactly. What I'm saying?
My coronavirus day. So yeah. No, it was cool. The documentary was awesome. The thing, like, I could have sat there all night and watched all 10 parts in one sitting. Oh, that's easily. Like, that's how great it was. It, like, they're doing a really, really good job of, in my opinion, weaving the timeline. So giving you backstory into MJ's life. And then in the second episode, giving you backstory into Scottie Pippen's life. But then also knowing when to cut it back to the 97-98 season, which they're like truly is the main emphasis of the documentary. So I think like it's all syncing up really, really well. And it's just the footage is just awesome because, I mean, obviously we grow up in a generation where, you know, at first we had, you know, when we were growing up, we had Kobe as the main focal point of like, you know, the next Michael Jordan. And then we were blessed with LeBron James. But we are all, you know, not too far enough removed. So where we know that MJ is that guy and we know all about MJ, sure. Whereas like a lot of the people that are younger than us, you know, if you're born, or I should say, if you were about to start college next year, like you were born after LeBron James was drafted. So, yeah.
But you know why that, you know why I think that is truly? I think it's because of Space Jam.
That, you know what I mean? That's totally fair. Absolutely. I'm just saying you're 100% right. But I'm saying like we are close enough to the MJ generation where like we still get all that like he's about and we know all his accomplishments. And not that the younger people don't, but yeah, it sure. it feels like we're closer to it. Than some 100%. Of probably the people that are a little younger than us. So it's like I've been psyched about this for months. And it's living up to the hype. So I'm definitely glad to see what they're putting out there.
Oh, that's yeah. Dope.
How would I'm really excited. How would you feel? So obviously like if you watch the first two episodes, the GM seems like a polarizing character. You know, he assembled this great team for Michael and like all credit to him, but he's got a little bit of that little man syndrome.
No doubt. He's got the Napoleon complex.
Right.
Sure.
He got a little Napoleon and he wanted a little bit too much credit. You know, I think he claims that that quote was taken out of context and I'm sure that happens from time to time. But throughout that documentary, the first two episodes, my man's getting shit on by MJ and Scottie Pippen. How would you feel if you got shit on by the GOAT? Like personally, for me, I'd be like, yo, like at least he recognizes me and goes out of his way to give me shit, I'd be honored.
Exactly.
If LeBron came over here and gave me shit for how I look, I'd be like, LeBron, first of all, I'm enamored by you. Like, thank you. Like, thank you for talking shit to me of all people. Like, I'm blessed. But I don't think Jerry took it that way.
No, not at all. I agree with you. If Black Jesus said anything remotely ridiculing to me, I would think that was the greatest compliment I've ever received in my life. If Michael Jordan said anything to me and if it was even remotely hurtful, I'd be pumped, just like you said. Absolutely. But yeah, for Jerry Krause, who I think he thought he was one of the boys when everybody right. clearly knows he wasn't one of the boys. And I think it really hurt him that they didn't like really accept him for, you know, I think they did accept him in the sense that like they definitely knew like he was the one who brought a bunch of those people there. So without him, they wouldn't have gotten it done. But I think
Jerry Krause is general manager.
Yeah. And then I think when he tried to take too much of the credit or tried to act like he was a bigger part of it than he really was, it wasn't like he was out there on the court dropping 63 points. It wasn't like he was out there with the flu game dropping buckets. Right. Like I think that's when it started to really rub everybody the wrong way. And then obviously you have the whole Scottie Pippen contract situation, which was just adding more fuel to the fire. So he was just digging himself a grave there.
It was.
Has the documentary lived up to what you guys expected from like it coming out?
So far, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And did you guys know about it prior or was it kind of like a surprise thing for y'all?
I'd say I found out about it honestly like last summer when it dropped there, like when they first announced it that there was going to be a 10-part documentary on Netflix about MJ. And that was all I really knew about it. But things kind of progressed more rapidly. And then ESPN kind of stepped back in, was like, hey, we need to put this on ESPN during the quarantine. And then because it wasn't supposed to drop until June
right?
Right. Yeah. But then they pushed it up. And so I've known about it for a good while now. But it's definitely living up to the expectations that I had for it. And definitely like what I was expecting.
And it's ESPN produced it, right? Like they did all they had all the footage and stuff like that. Netflix was just a distribution for it at the time.
Right. So it's an ESPN and Netflix production.
Okay.
So the guy who is the director or like put it all together, really, he's the same guy. He directed Coach Carter and he directed the Allen Iverson documentary. And the reason that, because so what happened was that NBA had this, the rights to the footage as well as Michael Jordan. So they couldn't release it or like start production on it until both parties agreed that they were cool to like turn it into anything. So they essentially, when MJ announced that it was going to be his final season, they were like, well, we don't have any footage of the greatest player to ever play this game. Like, we don't have any footage of like documenting him for a full year. So we need to go ahead and film something. Otherwise, we're never going to have any footage.
That's how it came about.
Right. So that's how it was proposed to MJ. It was like, hey, like, I'm not saying we're going to do anything with this. But I think it would be really awesome if we got granted access to kind of follow you guys around for your last season, because it was also Phil Jackson, the coach's last season. And that was why MJ was like, well, I'm done after this because I'm not going to play for another coach. So MJ gave them the go ahead to kind of document the full year, but this was obviously back in 1997, 1998. And then they didn't get the go ahead to go ahead and start turning this into a documentary until 2016. So they've just been sitting on this footage for years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when they gave them the agreement to follow them around, they were like, okay, we're not going to turn this into anything or like put this out there unless both Michael Jordan and the NBA give the go ahead. So it's taken quite a few years to turn it into anything.
That's wild. It's like, what, like 20 years
basically 20 years. Yeah
dude, I wonder what footage is sitting somewhere in some storage unit somewhere,
right
like some hard drive or like I don't know
it's crazy all that you really, when you think about it, all that's really out there that we'll never get to see.
I mean, did you guys watch the LeBron James documentary that I forget what it's called?
Definitely.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like it follows him through high school.
Yes. Right, yeah. More than a game.
Yeah. I mean, that should like, damn, to have the forethought to be like, yo, we need to document this kid's last season. You know what I'm saying? He's in high school. He's what, 17 at the time, 18?
Right.
Like, that's some foresight. I don't know how big that documentary got, but you know, just the fact that the footage is there is like pretty incredible.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
I think that was a pretty powerful documentary when LeBron was like kind of first making his way in the NBA. I remember watching that and like having a lot more. I just think it gives you like a sense of like understanding where he comes from and like, you know, just like who he is as a kid. And like, I think same with Michael Jordan, like seeing how charismatic he was when he was younger. Then just watching him blossom into that, like almost like a Kobe mentality, but like on almost like another level than Kobe's mentality, than that Mamba mentality. So yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Also, side note, MJ's got a beautiful bald head. Like, you know, Carlos Boozer got that scrunchy shit in the back of his dome. Like, MJ's got a pristine bald head. Like, that shit is Mr. Clean of heads.
Just ricochet shots to Carlos Boozer, bro.
Just had to say Carlos Boozer. But you know exactly what I mean. If you know basketball, you know exactly who Carlos Boozer. Shane Battier too. You know, just looking weird back there.
Yeah, they got the lumps and the rolls. It's not a clean transition from the top of their head to the back of their head.
That's the goat right there for you. That's why he's the goat.
It's true. That man does have a clean head. He's got the Mr. Clean of NBA heads.
Mr. Clean, I mean, I like that. I have not watched a documentary yet. I'm really excited, but I don't have cable, so I can't like get access to ESPN. I mean, like, I'm sure I could ask somebody for some login information or something like that. But I'm trying to find alternative methods, and it got me thinking about like the ESPN Plus, ESPN Watch, like app, I guess.
Right.
That app is garbage. I don't understand why you can have something on like ESPN cable television network and you wouldn't put it on your own goddamn streaming platform for your network. That makes no sense to me.
Facts.
So I was hella pissed yesterday when I was like trying to watch it and it was like, watch it live. And I was like, oh, dope. ESPN Watch app finally coming in for something. Glad I've been paying for this. And then it was like, nah, you have to sign in with your television network provider. And I was like, you Sly motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time to cancel that subscription, Kev. You know?
Yeah, we'll cancel it for y'all, too, because y'all leeching off of me.
It's the bundle, Sloan. It's the Disney Plus.
We're sucking at the
Plus piece. Bundle.
Hey, y'all want your Disney movies or not?
We can't get rid of that just yet. It's too good to us. And what are you putting ideas in his head for?
but no, I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I really do think you'll enjoy it. It's very well crafted. Like, they definitely took their time and did it right. So it's good to see so far. But not to make the whole podcast about The Last Dance, Kev. I know you've been blowing us up all week about it. You've been kind of hiding in some secrecy. You have a new segment or a potential segment idea for us for this podcast, and I've been waiting all week to hear about it. So
I think you're going to be real excited. And this is we started off with the perfect topic. The new segment is called Exclusive Entertainment, right? So with Exclusive Entertainment, I want to know what you guys have been watching, right? Whether it's movies, television shows, any sort of entertainment form that you've just been consuming or that you are currently consuming or want to consume. Like, I want to hear about it. So I'm glad we touched on The Last Dance, because, you know, that was going to be what I was going to bring up first in terms of like what I want to watch and like what you guys thought about it. But I was talking to Petey a little bit about this. I binged 3 seasons of Ozark. Like, during
the phenomenal.
Have you both seen it?
I have. I'm not all the way caught up, but I am an Ozark guy. Yeah.
So we'll keep Exclusive Entertainment spoiler free.
We'll keep it vague. Yeah.
It'll always be spoiler free. But Ozark, if you haven't seen it, it's a show that I could only do in like chunks. Like the show itself got me into like a dark space where like I couldn't just like sit there and watch 3 seasons straight, even though that's what ended up happening in my household, because Sylves was like, let's watch all of Ozark, and I was like, I'm feeling sad. Like, can we put on something funny? Like, I just need to go watch Wedding Crashers right now, because I'm just feeling like I'm in a dark space mentally because I'm consuming this show that is like a very dark tone show. But it was a hell of a ride. Hell of a ride.
Yeah, it's a wild ride. But Jason Bateman does a killer job in that.
He does.
In each season. And honestly, dude, her name is evading me, but that Wyatt, fucking Wyatt! You know, not Wyatt, but obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I forget her name right now, but she's killing in that. And then honestly, Ben does a phenomenal job in the new season.
It's not what I expected it to be. And this was going from like just the trailers that I kind of saw. And the trailers never hooked me once. Like, really? Never once. You know, it just didn't seem like something that like I would go out and find. And Sylves, to her credit, like, shout out Sylves. Sylves this quarantine has been on, like, in terms of like the pop culture.
Yeah.
She's the one that put me on Tiger King. She's the one that put me on to Ozarks. It's like, it's all her just being like, oh yeah, somebody said this, like, let's just put it on. And she'll just like put it on and we'll get addicted to it and like blow through, you know, everything or like whatever, like real fast. It's like she's been killing the Exclusive Entertainment game.
Love that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, like, what are your thoughts on like Ozark so far?
So I haven't watched any of the 3rd season yet. I'm just through seasons 1 and 2. And truthfully, I didn't really know, or like I wasn't up to date on the fact that it was coming back. So it was definitely a very pleasant surprise. However, I was already watching a couple other things that I had to finish. So now Ozark is next on the list to start. But I'm definitely excited for it, because I do agree with you. It is very, like, I couldn't watch it all the way through and like just binge it. It is a very, it's something you got to be in the right mood for.
Definitely. Like,
it's
the show's heavy.
It is. It's very heavy. And honestly, I wasn't expecting it to be that heavy. Not because I like I respect Jason Bateman, but I don't, like, when I think of him, I don't think of the most heavy character.
Exactly.
So yeah, when I first started, I was like, holy shit, like he's going for gold on this one. Yeah. Like it's great. I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who's behind me and still trying to catch up to get past, you know, seasons one and two to get to three. But it's great. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. He like directs and produces a bunch of the episodes too, which is like really always cool to see. Because, you know, there's more of like a, like whenever I see actors who are starring in a show direct and produce episodes and stuff like that, it you can tell the quality. There's a certain amount of care that they put into, you know, their characters and their performances that you don't necessarily always get if you're not. I mean, that's not true, actually, because they're amazing actors that probably never produce her. And, you know, they're shout out to the writers of many, many television series. But I feel like when you as an actor take the role of, like, you know, being more involved with the production and directing side of things, like there is a certain level of affiliation and attachment and love to the character that you're portraying on that
series. For sure. I feel like that normally goes like one of two ways. I feel like it's either you can tell like that they put a lot of effort into it and that they, you know, we're definitely going to nail this just because they're that invested in it, or they can have a production credit or, you know, be inside on the directing of it as well, and it can just tank because they like can't get out of their own way and they kind of fuck the whole thing up. I feel like it's either one of those two scenarios every time.
Yeah, heads or tails. Exactly.
But Ryan, no, he does a really, really good job.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I watched season 3 of Ozarks. That was like the most recent thing. But I've been watching the third season of Westworld as well.
Yes.
Which is an incredible show. But I feel like every episode I watch, I'm just like, it's so cool. I think like the visual graphics and like the entire, the entire way they like represent kind of like the theme of the show, which is kind of like just technology eventually trying to take over. I always leave each episode just a little confused on what the fuck is going on, like, to be brutally honest.
Do you think that like that show for you at least like is, it tries to be too twisty and turny?
I feel like it's innate, like it just implied that you're not going to really know what's going on until like the last episode's kind of revealed. Then you kind of get like the full, you kind of get some scenes, like for season 2, for example, like they kind of direct it in a way that what you thought was like the present was kind of like the past. So you really didn't know what the timeline was. So it just made it difficult to kind of like comprehend. Same with season 1, like you just had no idea like who is who and who ended up being like the biggest reveal of the character, which I think you like as a viewer. I think you have a lot of recency bias, and even if you don't understand like in those middle parts of the seasons, if the end and like the finale like gets you going, you're like fucking jacked up after watching the finale, and like that all makes sense. It all culminates to a nice, like, beautiful masterpiece. I think that's what you remember, and I think they like kind of like confusing the viewer and not giving you the whole picture, so it's not predictable.
Sure. It's like laying out a puzzle with like that one missing piece, and then once you have it, everything just makes sense.
Right. In a weird way, I think I like being confused in that show. Like, it kind of like, it's a little funny. Like, I watch episodes and I'm like, oh, this is tight, but I feel like I don't like fully grasp like what's going on. But it's just kind of cool in the end to be like, oh, that's what was kind of going on, like that aha moment. So that's been a killer show. I kind of wish I could go back and watch the first 2 seasons, but I just don't want to dedicate that much time.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause I feel like, I don't know,
that's a commitment.
I don't know if you guys experience this, but like same with Ozarks, when a new season comes out of a series that you have already watched, like they start talking about ideas and you're like, you just don't feel like as drawn to it, cause you don't remember like the old details they're bringing up. That's why Game of Thrones for me was like so cool. I binged like the first, I think 3 or 4 seasons in a matter of like 2 weeks.
And it just all made
sense. I love the first like 4 seasons. Yeah. Right. And then all of a sudden, like the last like 2 or 3 seasons I had to watch like with each episode. So I kind of forgot some things they were alluding to. I don't know if you guys have that same opinion, but that's kind of where I stand on. Like, right. It kind of stinks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's like, it's kind of the blessing and the curse of the release schedule that, you know, Netflix and other streaming services have provided is like the all at once format versus the serialized weekly format.
Right.
You know, and I think Game of Thrones at first, so like I started watching Game of Thrones when I was a freshman in college. And I think at the time there were two seasons out and the third season was like maybe just wrapping or just starting or something like that. And had I been watching it from the beginning, like week to week, I don't think I would have liked this series as much. And I'm kind of feeling as though, like, I feel like everyone got into Game of Thrones when like the fourth season was kind of coming around. Like that's when it kind of hit pop culture, is like around the third season.
Mm-hmm.
And because people were able to go back and watch season one and two in that binge format, I think it gave the show more legs than had it been like just kind of a new show that people had to watch week to week.
No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, for me with Game of Thrones, I didn't start watching until the end of season four. So, and I started like right at the start, or like when they were gearing up to start season five. So I binged one through four all the way up until the start of the fifth season, and then was current with it from there. And yeah, it definitely made it a better experience for me just because I got to have that much more mm-hmm. of an experience with it at the beginning, where obviously everything was new for me and there was just so much of it, because obviously they're long episodes and there's 10 episodes a season. So it was a more enriching experience for me just because it never felt like it was going to end. And it was all so great and so new that it just like, it made it that much better of a time watching it for me. And I definitely agree with you. I think if I would have watched it, you know, from the very first episode all the way to the end, I'm not saying I would have lost interest, because it's definitely still like, having seen it all, it's definitely a great show. Yeah. And it's one of my favorites, but I don't know if I would have felt the same way about it as I do now.
Yeah. And this is a spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Game of Thrones, because I think it's been out long enough, and B, like, I feel like so many things have already been spoiled about it, but this is your warning, spoiler alert. At the end of season one, when Ned Stark dies, that was what cemented the show for me as like, this is something I've never seen before. And the reason that that was is because they poise Ned Stark as the main protagonist of season one.
Right. He was the ultimate guy. Season one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like when I saw that and I was like, they just killed what? I was like, damn. I was like, damn, I really like Ned Stark. He was like dope. Right. Like, but B, I was like, this is like something that is unprecedented in television. Like, just you never had, the main character was, oh, there's always that trope of like, you know, they call it in the business, it's called plot armor. And what plot armor stands for is like, you're too important to the plot. And so no one will ever kill you or anything like that, because like, you know, you're just too pivotal.
Right. And that was what was so dope about Game of Thrones, was they did not care. They were down to kill off the best of the best characters.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I feel like for me, the Red Wedding really like made me question who I wanted to succeed in Game of Thrones. If you after the Red Wedding aren't left just like with a what the fuck phrase, then I don't know what you've been looking at, because yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, that was, I think the Red Wedding was by far my favorite.
Okay, spoil it, man.
For the same reason. Yeah.
No, 100%. And I think that's what the show lost like later on. You know what I mean? Like, I think when it came to season 6, 7, and 8, we were so ready for.
No, stop it. Season 6 was some of the best TV there's ever been. Come on.
I don't know.
Oh, season 6, the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah, but that was. See, that's the thing though. Is like
Cersei doing her thing on the whole church. Come on, that was unreal. She does that. Come on.
Yeah, I feel like the big thing that got me was Tommen killing himself. Right.
Come on, that is some of the best.
Oh yeah,
part of me that's like the Battle of the Bastards. Right, like it was geared up to be this big thing, And it, granted, it was still a good episode, right? Like it hit on a lot of those notes, but also there was like, I don't know, did anybody expect Ramsey to win? I don't think I did, to be honest. Right.
Well, you didn't like, want him to win.
But you felt gratified the way it ended with right. Sansa getting her revenge.
Right.
Cersei walking through the streets, buck naked with the shame. Who does that? Who's doing that?
You're right. There are definitely some moments.
I refuse to submit to season 6 not being very good. It was amazing.
All right. Respect. Also, fun fact about that scene with Cersei walking through the town.
Don't ruin it.
this might cut deep for some of y'all. That was a CGI body. It was a head replacement. So that wasn't actually her.
Right. Like,
naked from the neck down.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Okay, man. I feel like early in actress's career, they have to show a little skin. I'm not saying they have to, like, it sucks that they do. Daenerys, same thing. Like, she was out there the first two seasons, she was out there, and then she got famous enough where she's like, I don't need to expose these bad boys anymore.
Yeah.
You know, right. Good for her.
It was written in stone, you know what I'm saying? Dragonstone, right. to be exact.
Dragonstone. Because I don't know if you guys remember 300, which I know you do. Cersei played Leonidas' wife.
Yeah,
and if you want to see some of those, just go watch 300, and you can see some actual titties.
Red and stone. You're right.
Yeah. Damn, Brandon, Amelia. Amelia got a raw deal, man. Why she always got to be naked?
Making a raw deal for the first like two seasons for sure, and then she was like, she was like, I am the star of this show. Y'all motherfuckers are no longer allowed to write topless scenes about me.
Right. Right. She really got into her Daenerys bag and said, no, we ain't doing this anymore.
Yeah. What else you guys watch? Anything good?
Yeah, so me and my roommate, we just binged this show called The Stranger. And it's a British show. It's one season. And the premise is there is this stranger who finds all of these random people. And she somehow knows like the deepest, darkest secret of their family. And only one person like knows the secret, or it might even just be one person. And she comes up to them and literally like out of the blue exposes this secret to them and honestly throws their world just into a freaking snowball. And it kind of like details how their lives are affected by finding out these secrets. And then in the end, it kind of loops it all together on how like all these secrets are connected and then what role the stranger plays and everything. And it was definitely a mind fuck because kind of like Sloan was saying with Westworld, I had no idea how any of this stuff made sense for a good 6 episodes. And there's only 8 episodes in the season. And then it all kind of starts to come together. But I was like, what in the world is going on? But it was very, very captivating. And just when I thought, I was like, man, this is never going anywhere. They would reel me back in with the cliffhanger at the end. And yeah, it was. So I definitely recommend it. And that's on Netflix, The Stranger. Really, really good. And then actually shout out to Landon Sabori, because Sabori put me on a show on Hulu called Letter Kenny. And it is fucking hilarious. It's I forget the name. Oh, what's it called? It's The Ranch on Netflix with Ashton Kutcher. That's like the really dark humor, but it's hilarious. It's kind of similar to that in the sense where it's more dark humor, and it kind of details like a town where there's a bunch of like farmers and hicks, and like there's a local hockey team which are, they're all like drug addicts, and they're like the main protagonists of this. I shouldn't even say protagonist, but the main characters in the story. And it's kind of just about them and their lives, and it's hysterical the way that these people interact with each other. I would highly recommend it if you have Hulu.
Letter Kenny.
Yeah, shout out to Sabori,
because he have Hulu, so
he put yes you do, Ryan.
Yeah, you do, bro. Listen, I'm providing for all.
Oh, y'all. So since you have Hulu, I have Hulu?
Yeah, bro, that's how it works.
Ryan, the bundle.
That's how the bundle works. That's why we can't get rid of anything. Just get rid of one of them, get rid of all of them. That's not actually how it works. I know that. Don't come at me.
I've only been using the Disney Channel, the Disney thing. So
see, this is your problem. You don't listen when we decide things.
That's true.
But yeah,
I'm pretty sure there's a screen rule, so You know, we'll talk about that after. You know, we have so many things planned on so many screens, people.
That's true. Oh, and of course, I know we've mentioned it in the podcast before, but Dave on Hulu. Amazing.
Oh, yes.
That's amazing. Right. Dave is unreal.
Yeah. The White Atlanta.
Yeah, the White Atlanta.
I lovingly call it the White Atlanta.
Yeah. It's very so well funny. Written.
Yeah.
And it's very well written. And it's the best.
Yeah. It's good. It's also, for me, it's good background noise. Like, yeah. It's one of those shows you don't have to necessarily pay attention to every detail. And I really enjoy that, especially like when you don't necessarily want to be so
invested.
You want to scrutinize every little thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's no like subtle little punches. There's just like a funny, good, you know, 20, 30 minute episode or whatever. And then you're like, cool. I could definitely watch 20 of these and feel good about it, you know?
Right. And yeah. And they're quick. They're only like 20 minute episodes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Do you guys watch Tiger King? Did we talk about it? We didn't talk about Tiger King yet.
We have not talked about Tiger King. I finished through episode 3. I need to finish it.
Okay. All
right. But I mean, I know the primarily the main points of Tiger King.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's a wild ride, honestly. I didn't think I was going to be super invested. And the entire time I watched it, like Sills came back, I was just like, this is garbage TV. Like,
but you can't turn away.
You can't. It's literally, it's a train wreck that you just have to watch. And at first, like the first episode played, about 30 minutes into the episode, I look at Sylves and I go, what the hell did you just put on our TV? Like, what are we watching? And then the episode finished. And I was like, you want to watch another one?
Yeah. Well, my thing is with the Tiger King is like, it really kind of opens the door and makes you think about what kind of screwed up people are really living amongst us.
Yeah.
Bro. That we have no idea that are out there.
Just like, this goes on. Like, this happens. It kind of reminds me, it's almost like, it's like very similar to Jersey Shore, just like a like redneck version. maybe that's like not even fair to say generally, but I mean, like, yeah, it's got those kind of like undertone beats to it where you're just like, what? Like, I don't know.
My thing is like, who found this and was like, oh my God, this is going to be a gold mine. We need it. We need to expose all these people. Like, where did they find all these people?
I mean, I think it's one of Netflix's best performing series ever.
Right. Right.
Like, which is pretty incredible. Netflix had some bangers. Like,
right. Obviously it's capitalizing on the time in which it kind of came out in the sense that obviously everybody's home. So not to say that it wouldn't have been popular if it came out, you know, when everybody had the option to go outside and be a functioning member of society. However, it is benefiting from the time period we're in.
100%. You want to hear fun facts? Speaking of that, and with Netflix. So would not hold up in court, but one of Sylvia's cousins through one of her friends works like, Netflix marketing, and he was talking to her about Bird Box when it came out. And so when Bird Box came out, they released it specifically in the window before like Christmas break, because that's when the most people would have been home with their families and like kids are out of school and stuff like that. Like the whole release schedule was built around people being out of college, home, like with their families, something to watch, like that was their whole push for it, to try and generate like Oscar buzz and stuff like that too, which I think is like fascinating on the psychology side of things. Like because we have all this entertainment at our fingertips, like when you release something is almost as important as like
the quality of it.
Content is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, For all of Tiger King's like crazy moments, it is shot well. Like, it's a well-produced piece of content, even if it's garbage content.
You know? Yeah. Right. Well, that's why I like think about it. Like, every Adam Sandler movie, right, probably came out, like, not knowing, obviously, when they all came out. The majority of them probably came out in the summer, because the majority of people that were going to be into these movies were kids, or would actually think that they were funny were kids. Don't get me wrong, Adam Sandler movies are great, but...
Never been an Adam Sandler guy.
No, well, but here's the thing.
Sorry, we'll get into it after.
Here's the thing. Like, the majority, like, Adam Sandler knows the parents are going to be taking their kids to the movies to go see Grown Ups 2.
Sure.
So all those movies probably came out in the summer when they were all out of school.
Sure. Yeah.
Out of all totally. The Adam Sandler movies, you're going to throw out Grown Ups 2?
Well, that was a bad one. I like other Adam Sandler movies.
Come on, he's a gaff. Are they trying to gas a man up or what?
No.
Grown Ups 2 is probably his worst.
Come on, Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, classics.
Spanglish, you know, all the good ones.
Oh, come on, Spanglish.
I'm joking. That was a joke.
Big Daddy. But I wipe my own ass.
Yeah, honestly, the movies that you did mention, phenomenal movies.
Right,
phenomenal. But then there comes a point. There comes a point after, I don't know, like the later years of Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I mean
after Click, you were off the boat.
Yeah, even with Click, I was like, man, I don't know about this. Like,
all right,
cool concept, super dope.
50 First Dates is rocking.
Never watched 50 First Dates,
dude.
I was off the Adam Sandler train by that point.
That's a solid movie, man.
Yeah,
it's a solid movie.
Drew Barrymore killing it.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, man. I feel like Adam Sandler does his thing, and he always gets a hot ass co-star to ride with him. You know what I'm saying?
That's in the Adam Sandler contract. You're gonna pay me a shit ton of money, and I'm gonna get the hottest girl in the room to play my co-star.
That Veronica Vaughn is one hot piece of ace.
Sorry, did you say ace like a card?
Yeah, it's from Billy Madison, but you know it's okay.
Yeah, come on, kid.
I'm sorry, my bad.
That was Chris. Chris Farley said that too when he's a bus driver. Unreal.
So you're, I'm assuming then you're more of a Will Ferrell guy, Kev.
Nope, not a Will Ferrell guy either.
I feel like that's the debate that I've heard recently is Adam Sandler versus Will Ferrell.
No, I'm not a John C. Reilly guy either.
Kevin doesn't like to laugh.
Hot take.
No, it's not true though. I like comedy that's not as slapsticky.
So you don't like Step Brothers?
You know, I've only seen it once, which should tell you how much I like or don't like it.
You don't like it then. If you only seen it once, you don't like it.
The man brings up a fair point.
He beat me with logic there.
So you don't like it?
So you don't like it.
I can neither confirm nor deny. But there's something cerebral about like Wedding Crashers, which is one of my favorite like comedies of all time, right? It's a little bit less slapsticky and more like maybe like verbal, sarcastic, like that kind of comedy sense,
right?
Versus Step Brother, I feel like it is very like it's a physical comedy, which is not the comedy I tend to lean towards if I want to watch something funny.
Right,
nope, that's totally fair.
Right.
That's
well, totally plus fair. I feel like Wedding Crashers, like written by Judd Apatow, like that man just goes off, and that was like a rom com, but it was a hilarious rom com. Wedding Crashers, you know, so that's like a different category. But Wedding Crashers in itself, probably one of the funniest movies of all time. I will give you that.
I thought we were considering. Shout out to our previous episode. I thought we were considering it a bro com.
Yeah.
Hey, now that you know what it is, I'll let you guys be the judge of that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Shout out to Sloan for teaching us what a bro-com was.
Bro-com, yeah. Changed our whole world, you know?
A whole new world.
So I put on this thing on Disney Plus. Sorry, this is gonna be our last. This will be our last entertainment exclusive. But I put on this thing on Disney Plus. It was like families compete. It's like a cooking competition where families like compete against each other to create a dish that's inspired by like a Disney Pixar movie. The show's garbage. Like
that doesn't sound good at all, Kev.
It is more garbage than like what I thought it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna be good, right? Like Disney Plus putting out entertainment, great. You know, they obviously want to inject some life into the Disney Plus streaming service. And I was like, okay, cooking competitions. I love MasterChef. It's like MasterChef is like one of my favorite network television shows. It's not network or whatever, like broadcast television shows to watch, right? It's just it's good. It's a good hour of entertainment. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll hit on some of those notes. Hits on none of them. Hits on absolutely none of them. It's like, it seems so like forced and awkward. And it's Angela from The Office. Angela Kinsley is the host. And you can tell she's trying to be like energetic and fun for like the kids. But you can tell the kids are just like, they're just like not into it. And then like, I don't know. It just like, I watched two episodes and I was like, yeah, this is not for me. And normally I really enjoy cooking shows. I think they're like a lot of fun to watch, but couldn't do it.
I feel you. I typically enjoy cooking shows as well. However, I do have a bone to pick with cooking shows, and I'm about to have one of these change my mind moments where I'm going to get up on my soapbox and have you try and change my mind.
Okay, I got you.
These cooking shows that are centered around the kids that are like under 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
killing it in the kitchen and being stars. I don't believe any of them for a second. There's no way in hell that you're sitting there telling me that a 7-year-old knows what blanching is. Like, what? I don't even know what blanching is. I don't believe it for a second. You got kids out there they go to get their materials from the fridge and they're like, oh, I need to get the fondant. What? You don't know what fondant is, bro. Like, what is this? Like, there's definitely behind the scenes. Like, they cut the camera off and then people have to be helping them. I don't believe it for a second that these kids are this masterful in the kitchen at 8-9 years old. I just don't believe it.
You guys, can I let you in a little secret?
Go ahead.
They do like a boot camp during the day. So it's like a summer camp, right? Because they film. And so this is for MasterChef specifically for the kids and the adults. During the day, they're going to like these like lessons or teaching lessons where they basically teach them all these techniques and skills and stuff like that. And then when they do the filming portion of it, they like obviously put those techniques and skills to the test.
I still don't buy that. I don't buy that they're good enough at that point in time after the 2-week boot camp to be doing these things. I don't buy it.
No, the boot camp goes on through the entire time that they're filming.
Okay, so even more so that I don't believe it.
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying you're right though. Like I agree with that sentiment. I think it's the way that it works is like, you know, if they're there for however many fucking days they're filming their months, it's like 2 or 3 months or whatever. Every day is a lesson, and then that lesson is like what the challenge is about, right? So it's not like they like knew it prior. They just like learned how to do it and like are recreating it.
I'm on to you, Food Network. I'm on to you.
Food Network. True that. I never really enjoyed the kids' version of cooking shows. Although I also have a bone to pick with like cooking shows that are just like too outrageous. It's like, yeah, I used infused saffron that I oxidated with this like dehydrator. And I'm just like, yo, motherfucker, I can't do this in my kitchen. I got a microwave and a stove. Like, teach me how to do something that I can do, damn it.
Yeah, you got the panini press from Cuisine Art. Don't lie to him.
Cuisine Art, you're right. I got a panini press. I splurged. That was before quarantine. Actually, no, it was like during quarantine. I think it was like the week after. I was like, well, I'm going to get a panini press now because that's a financially smart thing to do in this current climate.
Those aren't very expensive, are they? They're like $20.
No, they're not. Yeah. It was like $100, but.
Oh, dang. You got a nice, nice one then.
Hell yeah, man.
All right.
Kevin, don't play around in the kitchen.
Yeah. No, you know what? You know what my rationale was? Is like, hey, if I should get something nice because it will last me a long time, right? So hopefully this panini press isn't something I'm going to throw out at the end of the year. But B, like, I'm at an age in my life where I feel like, you know, it's upgrade to the next level in terms of like purchasing items. I think, you know, when you're in like your 20s and you're buying things for yourself for the first time, you're like, I'm gonna get the $7 sheets that are 50 thread count because they're like $7.99. like, that makes sense to me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then like when you're like 26, got a little bit of money, like, I'm gonna get the 100 thread count $14.99 sheets, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right. There's levels. You gotta continue to upgrade.
You gotta get the funds.
But yeah, let's get into this week's topical. But first,
oh, go ahead.
Let's take a quick break for the ads. Thank you to our sponsors this week and every week. Anchor. Y'all real ones.
Anchor. Y'all hold us down.
Y'all hold us down. Wow, I was good. It took me a second to get that, but damn, I'm dumb as hell.
Hey, we smart, but we dumb at the same time, you know?
Yeah, we smart, but we dumb as hell, you know? for this week's topical, boys, I'm curious, and I, you know, you guys don't have to get super deep, but as much or as little as you would like to, I want to know, like, what the best thing or, you know, the thing that's meant the most to you that somebody else has done for you. That's a weird way to phrase that. But like the best thing that somebody else has done for you.
Sure.
It could be anything. Not like a gift, just like anything in general.
No, yeah, it can be abstract. But once if it's like, you know, just like they gave you this advice, or maybe they did give you an actual present or a physical gift or something like that, or maybe they whooped your ass or something like that. I don't know. Like whatever.
I needed maybe, that ass. That's what I give you.
It's whooping, whooping 2010 really in my place, man.
He said, "You're gonna learn today." And boy did I.
Oh yeah, no, it's a good one. I like that. Let's see here. For me, I think the first thing, or I should say, you know, something that really sticks out to me is it was October 2016, and I was on the road with the Nutmobile, and it was my birthday. And actually, I have two events that center around my birthday. So sorry to double up on y'all, but so it was 2016, October 21st, and I was on the road with the Nutmobile in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I had, obviously, I was only with my two partners, Jody Peterson and Lexi Saloom. And we were on the road, and we kind of made a big deal for each other for our birthdays. Well, I should say for mine and Jody's birthday, because unfortunately we didn't get to. Well, we did. No, we did get to celebrate Lexi's birthday with her. So all three of our birthdays, we kind of made a big deal out of it, obviously, as it was just the three of us together on the road. So we were out there, and they're kind of like hyping it up all week, saying that it's going to be something crazy. And me personally, I am terribly afraid of heights. So they're joking with me like all week that we're going to go skydiving and all this stuff. And I was like, nope, like, please do not send us skydiving. But at the same time, like they're paying for it, or like they got me this gift. So
you're saying yes to life, you know?
Right, I mean? Exactly. So like I have to do it. It's not like they're going to buy me like a skydiving appointment. I'm not going to do it. Like what kind of an asshole would I be if that if that ends up happening, the like shaking out like that? So I'm like, God, these girls don't dislike me that much. Like they'll be nice and not send me skydiving. So on my birthday, we have to work an event in the morning, and it's only like a 3-hour event. So we're in and out of there pretty quickly. Now, during the event, for whatever reason, it's going horribly. I ripped my pants, and like I like my work pants, like our uniform that we were wearing, I literally just I get my shorts caught on this hook, and it just fucking tears them right down my like my ass cheeks, literally just boxes out everywhere. And yeah, I think it's like,
I was waiting for you to find the words, and I'm glad you found ass cheeks.
I was waiting for
butthole.
I was gonna go buttocks. I was like, what am I, a fucking 50-year-old with fucking high cholesterol?
Getting glimpse of that hazelnut African butthole. That's what it's coming from here.
So I'm thinking I'm all slow. I was like, oh shit, like this is awful, but no one saw it. Like I'll just go get a jacket and tie it around my like my waist. And then these Classic. Girls at the event are like, yo, did you just rip your pants? And I'm like, yo, don't put that out there. So everybody knows, and everybody like sees me at this event, and they were like talking about the Nutmobile and fucking peanuts, and they're like, yo, but you ripped your pants. And I was like, okay, this is gonna end at some point. So then the event ends, we rush out of there. And we go get lunch at Jimmy John's, and then they take us, or I should say they blindfold me at this point, and they're like, all right, literally you can take the blindfold off when we get there and like everything's set up. I'm like, all right, whatever, like I'll play along. And I'm like, yeah, we're definitely going skydiving. There's no way they would blindfold me if we weren't. And we're driving, and like over the speakers, they're only like playing songs that like have high or like fly in the title. So I'm like, oh yeah, we're definitely going skydiving. Fuck these two. So we pull up and they're like, all right, they're like walking me down, you know, the pathway. So obviously, because I'm still blindfolded, and we get there and they're like, all right, like, this is it. Like, sit down. I'm like, no, you're not putting me in this plane blindfolded. And then I'm going to take the mask off in the air. That's not what's happening. So I'm like, low key, like, no. Like, we're taking this off right here. No, we're not, like, this isn't a plane. Like, literally sit down in this cart and we're driving to where we need to go. And I was like, why the fuck are we in a cart? I'm questioning everything. I'm like, why the fuck are we in a cart? What's going on here? So I sit down and like we drive up to this like launch pad, and then I take my blindfold off and I'm like, I fucking hate these two. What is happening? And there's literally a dude standing there, and behind him is this like giant ass helicopter. Ooh. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right. We're skydiving out of helicopters now. This got real. So I'm like, yo, I ain't going in there. And they're like, no, like we're going on a helicopter ride, like all throughout the city. And I was like, wow, that actually sounds pretty dope. But then they also have let the pilot in on the joke that I'm terrified of heights. So like the dude's like, yeah, man, don't worry, it's gonna be fine. I'm scared of heights too. And I'm like, then why the fuck are you flying the plane or the helicopter?
Suddenly I'm not excited about this trip anymore.
Yeah. So, but no, he was just messing around. And then we get in the helicopter, and it was honestly one of the like most breathtaking experiences I've had. Like we were in like not rural North Carolina, but kind of more in the backwoods of it. Like apparently when we were leaving the helicopter ride, like we were driving and we passed like Michael Jordan's private estate in North Carolina, and it was fucking awesome. But we get up in the helicopter and it takes us all throughout the city, like so much like intermittent greenery, and like we go like all through downtown Charlotte. So we're like flying over like where the Panthers play, and it's just breathtaking. It's beautiful. And it was one of the dopest experiences ever, because like it obviously got me to like get over my fear a little bit, but at the same time, like I meant so much to Jody and Lexi that they like bawled out and literally got me one of the coolest experiences that I've ever had, and like something I'm always going to remember. And especially too, like I'm someone who's very big on relationships and like being around the people I love, and just to like have them do so much for me, or like really make an effort to show me that like I matter to them after like literally only knowing them for like less than 6 months was really, really awesome, and something like I'll never forget. That definitely always sticks out to me. And then two was this past year. Sorry to keep rambling on, but shout out to Olivia Danley, one of my best friends, Nick Capellini, his girlfriend, surprised Nick for his birthday, which happens to be the day before mine. So his birthday is October 20th. Mine's October 21st. So she hits me up on Instagram and was like, hey, I don't know if you have plans for your birthday, but I think it'd be really awesome to fly you out to Arizona and surprise Nick, because, you know, obviously I can't think of a gift that like means more to him than obviously being able to spend it with you and like all his best friends. So obviously that was super dope, because one, like one of my best friends has someone who cares enough about him to do that for him. But then two, it was low key like a birthday present for me too, because obviously I'm getting the benefit of getting to come out to Arizona and see all the guys that I love. And it was just, it was a great weekend. And I got to spend it with, obviously, Ryan, you didn't get to come out with us that night, but Honest was there and Xavier was there. And then all my buddies like Jackson and Kevin and everybody, and Nick from high school, my boy Dylan Armstrong was there. It was a hell of a time. But I'm always very, very grateful and appreciative of Olivia, because she made that one really, really special. And, you know, made it possible for me to see all those that I love as well. So that was really, really great.
Dude, that's awesome. What a great girlfriend. And like, what a great, like, you know.
Yeah, she's a real one.
Jody and Lexi balled out too. Were you scared to get in that helicopter at all?
Oh, I was. Well, especially like when we first started going up, I was like, oh, this is this is not safe. Yeah. We're going down.
You didn't feel safe in there? Or just you think it was like you're like afraid of heights, that's why you didn't feel safe?
I think my fear was definitely contributing to me not feeling safe, because like once we got up in the air and we're like cruising, like I didn't feel like we were going down. Like I felt definitely safe and secure. But I will say though, like after that experience and like everything that happened like with Kobe and everything, I get it. Cause yeah, it was kind of shaky at first. Like it's no joke going up.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I hope that they had like the, you know, like you were saying, when somebody puts like a lot of thought and stuff like that in something, and it's like, not only did they like put thought into it, but they like kind of like put that like fun spirit of like,
exactly, they were fucking with me. Like those are my best friends. They were fucking with me. Yeah. So that made it more special too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that like you love surprises.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You love surprising people and being surprised, which is like evident. Like when like you came out Seattle, you brought everybody like Cubs jerseys and stuff like that. You're just like, oh, you're always that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's cool that people in your life are like, you know, willing to do that for you. I think that's awesome.
No, it really was. Yeah, definitely super fortunate, super blessed that, you know, obviously people think highly enough of me to do something like those two events, because yeah, those are always going to stick with me.
Thinking highly of you, you know what I'm saying? Like, highly is a little strong term, you know what I mean? They like you, I guess, like a little bit.
Yeah, they fuck with me from time to time.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we're cool. I got some cool people.
Yeah. That was dope though.
Yeah,
those two great stories. Two.
Yeah, sorry, those were kind of long, but yeah, those definitely deserve all the attention that they warrant.
This is our podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
True. Facts. All facts, no printer.
Yeah.
What about you, Sloan? Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I can't really think of like a gift, like just like kind of like how Harry pointed out. Mine is more so just kind of like people showing up. I think that's like the best gift you can kind of give somebody. I think when I was younger is like my parents showing up to all my sporting events. Like my dad was always my coach. My mom was always there for us. My brother always kind of like being there, like being able to hang out with him, who was my best friend growing up. And then as you get older, I think you realize, just like everybody does, like the people that kind of matter to you, or the people that that think highly of you enough to like kind of like attend your events or to go places with you, to kind of make it a point to go see to see you and support you. I think like as you get older, you get so busy, it's kind of hard to show up for everything. So I think when you can, you know, show up to events for your friends, like for your homies, I think it just shows like leaps and bounds, like how much you care about them. Kind of just back to like when Jody and Lexi got H that awesome helicopter gift, like just to kind of like show how much they loved and appreciated him after like 6 months of knowing H, which is understandable because the guy's fucking dynamite. That's what we call him, Soul Baby.
Appreciate it.
But yeah, honey roasted hazelnut. But yeah, I just think there's the honey. Honey roasted hazelnut African is the best thing to come out of the podcast.
H cubed.
Right. But just like, even like take us for example, like being able to carve out time in our busy schedules to do this podcast every week, or it could even be like us going to Europe and pulling the trigger to go to Spain to make like an unbelievable experience. But I think it could just be simple too, like trying to hang out with your boys. There are some people that like you try to hang out with and it just doesn't work for whatever reason. They're always busy, and not that you hold it against them, but I think you value, like as you get older, like people who are willing to kind of show up for you. So I think the biggest gift that I've received throughout my life is just like the presence of the people that I love. As I've gotten older, I realize how much I enjoy like that interaction. And that's my tidbit on that. So thank you to you boys for doing this, obviously, but yeah, bringing some soul to the podcast, you know what I mean?
Of course, bro. Of course.
President, that's you
though. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like he
always shows up.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. Yeah. Petey, your presence is the best present. So that's, that definitely always resonates. But you mean to tell me it wasn't that flying squirrel shirt that I sent you?
Oh, dude, that was
for your 23rd birthday.
I was absolutely dying at that. I get this package in the mail, and Harry's like, "Yo, I wasn't even expecting anything." It was just like, he's like, "Yo, what's your address?" And I just like sauce it to him, and then sure enough, like on my birthday, I get this letter from H about like, and he was on the road too. I wasn't expecting this at all. This letter from H talking about like our friendship and how glad he was. And then there was this Flying Squirrels t-shirt that he got me from a minor league team that like was at a ballpark that he was at. Was it in Atlanta? Like, where was that team at?
Richmond, Virginia.
Richmond. Oh, Richmond. What? yeah. So I think after I got that, I was like, damn, I got to step up my game. So I think I got H a little gift too.
No doubt.
I think I got you a Pogba jersey. I don't know if it fits. So I think it kind of ran kind of small, which is the shitty thing.
H's love language is definitely gifts.
Dude, he's so good at it too. Yeah, he kind of put so me on good. The
I got like, isn't it like receiving gifts? Like I'm more gift giving.
No, right. Gift giving is a love language in itself.
Oh, okay. I thought it was, yeah, I thought, because when I took it, or I took it with somebody else, I think I took it with Jody, and I was like fucking with her. I was like, yours is going to be gift receiving because you selfish. No, it's not. It's quality time and words of affirmation. I was like, wow, she's going to be gift receiving. And it was literally gift receiving. That's why I thought it was just receiving. I didn't know there was actually a giving one as well.
I think it's both. It's like, what is it? It's how you show love and how you receive love, and they can be different. So okay, you show it. Love through giving gifts. You might receive love in a got different it. Way.
Okay, that makes some more sense because I'd agree with that as far as giving and receiving being different. Yeah,
I mean, you're always on point. The fun. Speaking of birthdays, Harrison organized like I think it's one of my favorite gifts that I've ever gotten of all time. Actually, thinking about it. Harrison organized with my girlfriend at the like who's still my girlfriend now Sylves.
I was gonna say my girlfriend at the time.
Who is still currently my girlfriend.
Still currently in my life. So with Sylves, Harrison coordinated with her to get one of our like favorite photos of all five of us together and like put it on, you know, like a nice like wooden block, and it was dope. It was one of those things where like, you know, if I had any feelings at all, I could cry, but like I'm dead inside.
Classic kid.
But it's things like that that make you value and like showing up too. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine a time when I wouldn't need Petey's help for something and he wouldn't be there.
Right. Oh, of course. Right. Of course.
Like, I feel like both of you are just are so good at being friends that I'm like, it makes me happy to know that people outside of our circles also value your friendship as much as I do. Right. Like, for that's sure. Dope.
Yeah, so absolutely. Dope. What about you, Kev? Do you want to elaborate more on what's the best thing someone's done for you?
Yeah. So this might be like a weird one. So growing up, my dad always really into cooking. Like he loved to like experiment, and like I think it was like almost like a creative release for him to, you know, try different things, like try making bread or try a new recipe, or, you know, just like he would always go by feel. Like he wasn't a recipe guy. He would just like look at how to make something and then try to fucking make it. Like that was his MO, and it's very much my style of cooking.
That I was going to say that reminds me a lot of somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely got passed down.
Oh, 100%. But the biggest thing I think is an appreciation for food. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's like a lot of families that maybe aren't like super, foodie people, which I think is fine. I don't think you need to be a foodie person at all. But growing up in a household that just a family generally that was a very big foodie family, it has allowed me to like, I don't know, like enjoy certain things a lot more. Like I'm not the type of person to go to like a really fancy place or whatever. But if I did go to a fancy place, I feel like I would appreciate it more because like growing up in a foodie family, I understand like the small technicalities or like, you know, I don't know. I took Silves out when I first got this job. I took Silves out to the most expensive dinner I've ever gone to. because I was like, we celebrate. Like, I finally feel like I've made a good step forward in like what I want to do, and I'm making like really good money now. So like, we're going to celebrate as like, you know, cool. Like, we're here. And so we went out to dinner. I think it was like $400 or $500 for the two of us.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was the most expensive dinner that I've ever gone to in my entire life.
Let's go.
Like, with just me and one other person.
Put it on the table, Kev.
Yeah. And the thing was, it was like, when we went, it was like this really nice French bistro steakhouse that's like really kind of close to my apartment in Capitol Hill, like in Seattle. And we walked in and I was like, all right, cool. Like I was feeling good. My pockets were feeling good. You know what I mean? Like, you know that feeling where you're just like, no limits. Like, let's go.
Say name because let's go.
Exactly. So I had that feeling. And then I saw on the menu, there was a chef's tasting menu.
Ooh.
Which, you know what, that's I don't know if you guys have ever seen those on the menu. It's like a 5-course thing.
Yeah.
But it's always like, you know, it's always something absurd. It's like $175 a person or something, like, just like crazy, right, like that. And so me and Sils were looking at it, and like, I was like, you want to do the tasting menu? And she was like, do you want to do the tasting menu? And I was like, fuck it, it's a celebration. Like, let's do the tasting menu. So we ended up doing this tasting menu, this 5-course thing. And it, you know, there was some beef cheek was on it, beef tongue, like
some language. And
it was honestly,
was it not worth it?
In my opinion, no, not even close.
I hate to ruin the punchline, but I feel like you were kind of heading that way with the beef tongue.
That's not even like the punchline, because I think the experience was worth it in like a cool way. Right. So we were sitting at the bar because it was a fully booked house. So they only had two seats at the bar. Otherwise, we would have to wait like 2 hours for a table. And me and Sils were like, we ain't that bougie. Let's go to the bar. And then when we got to the bar, the bartender at first were like, these two homeless people are going to order French fries and nothing else. Then we got the tasting menu and he was like, oh shit. And so he
you guys after that.
Literally. It was dope because it wasn't in like a... It wasn't in like a super salesy aggressive way, like they're gonna give me a good tip. It was more in the sense of like, oh, they're cool. Like, you know, like you when you had that feeling about a table or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
they surprised you.
A regular comes in next to us. He like gets a bottle of wine. He's sharing the wine with me and Sils because we're just talking to him, like, you know, just like talking to him about wine and stuff like that. I'm talking to the bartender about spirits and like different kinds of things, the restaurant industry, all this and that. He's giving us like free drinks on top of the drinks that we're ordering. So like,
love it.
We left there like feeling real good.
Yeah.
And he like, before I was talking about whiskey because I enjoy whiskey, and he was like, yeah, this whiskey is like, it's like 150 years old, like blah blah blah, you know, like it's really fancy whiskey that I would never buy or order anything like that. But he was like, you want to taste a little bit? And I was like, it was just one of those nights, you know, like where you just, things went right.
Yeah.
And I think if I was maybe a little bit less adventurous in my like cooking and food knowledge, maybe a little bit, or I hadn't been exposed to it as much, and I was, you know, really the type of guy that's like, you know, just a little bit more on the safe side, I don't know if that experience ever would have happened in the way in which it did. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. But I mean, it's also like the energy that you guys were putting out there too, in the sense where it's like, you didn't need to wait for 2 hours to sit down at an actual table. Like, you were cool sitting at the bar. And then like, obviously he noticed that, but he's like, okay, are these people are going to buy French fries? And then you surprise him. And then you guys turn out to be really cool. You're chatting it up with him. You guys make a relationship with the person sitting next to you. Obviously you guys are in a great mood. You're celebrating. You're there with someone you love and Ashley, like I'm sure the energy and the vibes were just amazing. So obviously other people feed off of what you bring into a situation. So it was just like a recipe for success. No doubt.
Definitely. I like the little cooking pun you got there too.
I got you, bro. I'm a recipe pun for master, success. Bro. Yeah.
The honey roasted African is on it. But so that's, I think that's where I kind of lay. Like I really do enjoy those experiences and like creative endeavors when I'm just in the kitchen. Like, I'm gonna put fucking Polish kielbasa on an egg with cheese on some bread. And
oh,
hey,
my god, like, that was amazing.
You know what I mean?
Like,
that, yep, was, that, no, was, you ate it, Sloan. You had it.
I know, that was unreal.
Oh, I thought you said that sounds real. I was like, what do you mean you've had it? That, oh, yeah, was unreal, like, Kev. That was amazing.
It's like even like the fucking the Cane's chicken tender on a taco. Oh, no, that wasn't a good creative endeavor. That was bad.
I don't know that.
It wasn't good. I'm telling you, it was bad.
This is when you literally pull it out and you're like, you know what? This isn't good, but it needs something else. And then you put freaking the tortilla chips on it. I was like, I don't think that's going to be much better.
That was bomb. That added texture, you know?
Definitely added texture.
But yeah, you know, I think that kind of shit's fun. I'm finding these days as I'm like, because now that I have pulled away from running my own photography studio and like actually working for a company, my creative freedom is a little bit less, right? Because there's like brand and guidelines and stuff like that, right? There's a certain image that you,
yeah, kind of a voice you have to capture, yeah,
exactly, right? And so I've found more and more that cooking is a really good creative outlet for me, where I do get to have that creative freedom to try whatever the fuck I want. And it's like, I think in a weird way it's keeping me sane by being able to like experiment and try these different things through food, whereas I'm not doing that as much through a lens. You know,
no, for sure. Absolutely. That creativity's got to come out somewhere. And yeah, where better than in the kitchen?
Seriously. Yeah. Plus, it's fun when you get older and you start to like learn how to cook and have fun with cooking. I think it brings like a whole new level of excitement to like eat something you've created as well.
Totally. Like selling those breakfast tacos this morning, those look good as fuck.
Oh, bro. Those were, yeah. You know, those look better than they tasted, but damn it, did they taste good.
Yeah, those did look fire, Ryan.
Yeah.
The boys got to get a house together just for like a year. I know we keep talking about it, but I think it would be fire. Just like eight of us. It's like the five PCB, Xavier and Ant, and Sils.
And Sils.
I feel bad for Sils.
Sils would kill us.
For Sils already.
Sils would kill us.
She'd kill me, and then she'd slowly work her way around the house. That sounded dirty. Like that. Sounded way dirtier than I thought it was going to sound. Like, I'll stay with her. No, I'm just playing.
She would kill us. No, Sylvia's the best, though.
Yeah,
I love that woman. But no, Kev, I could see you thriving in that atmosphere of just like just being. I don't think it matters what setting you're in. But just being able to like to relate to somebody. And I feel like it's easier in that setting, maybe because you are so adventurous with food, and then very adventurous with like knowing your spirits and knowing your alcohol. So I feel like that made like a genuine connection between you and the bartender, but just like the guy next to you, like being able to like talk him up. And, I think that's something we all do pretty well, but I could just see you particularly, being able to like thrive in that situation to make that such a memorable night experience for you, not just for the fact of the awesome experience of the chef's tasting menu, which I've always wanted to experience, by the way, but just for the sheer fact of you being able to make that connection with like people you've just never met. So I feel like that's right up your alley, brother.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I think I get it from you guys.
No, bro, you had that way before we did.
Y'all make me better people.
Nah, man, you had that way before we did. Honestly, that's something you instilled in both me and Ryan.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm working on my gift giving, to be honest. It's actually one of my like weakest friend traits. It's like the last thing on my love languages, both giving and receiving. Gifts are not high. I go back to poverty with that one. But
I should not laugh at that. I don't know why I laughed at that.
Yeah, that wasn't funny.
That was not a laughing moment. I'm so sorry.
Poverty is like our running inside joke. I think it is fun. It's fun. I mean, it's not fun to laugh at poverty. It's kind of fucked up. But at the same time,
that was bad.
You laugh at where you came from, right? Like it's not like you're looking down on it because you know how hard it is, or like, you know, it's a different kind of appreciation. It's like,
right,
you laugh when you're like, man, I was so fucking stupid in college when I did this. You know what I'm saying? You gotta learn to laugh at those things.
It's, right. No. Sloan and I were definitely laughing at the inside joke, not the fact that there was actually a poverty-ridden household.
So this is the one stipulation that listeners get is anytime we make the poverty joke, if you don't know, you know, but if you know, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, like that's yeah. but so gift giving is not high, and Harrison actually, like, you know, the years that we have been apart, you've always been so good about giving the perfect gifts at the perfect times.
I appreciate that.
It's like incredible.
Yeah,
you're always coming through. I'm just like, damn. Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't know. It gives you that warm foot. You're like, man, that's my friend. You know what I'm saying?
What a guy. Yeah, it makes you want to like memorize birthdays. Like, I gotta fucking memorize his birthday and all my homies' birthdays now. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really bad because like I know everyone's birthday month. Harry's is the only one that I know his day. Which is sad. I'm sorry, Ryan. I know yours is in August, but I know late August, like August 20. I'm not gonna say it because I don't want to.
Yeah. You got the month right. That's all that matters.
Oh, I didn't get the 20 right. Damn it.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Like I said, it's low center totem pole, so I'm not hurt at all by that. You know what I'm saying?
No. Not even low. It's not even low on the totem pole. Honest is May. He's May 31st.
Yeah.
Is it at the end of the month?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I know Wallace's day.
There you go.
August 17th, is that yours?
2 for 3. Oh, you're close. It's got a 1 in it. And it's got the teenth in it too.
Okay. Higher or lower?
Lower.
Okay. So it's August. Damn it. There's like a lot of teenths lower. I was like, oh, it's only the 16th. Like, there's only one, but there's not. There's a few more. I know it's not good. The 12th. It's August 13th.
Ooh, close, bro. 14th.
Close.
The 14th.
Damn it.
Yeah. You had it, bro. I'm proud of you.
I'll put it in my calendar. Thank God for Facebook. You know what I'm saying?
Thank God
for Facebook. Dude, yeah. I used to check Facebook religiously, and now I never check it. So I'm like, dude, there's all these birthdays that I'm missing out on, man.
I wait until people post on their Instagram story that it's their birthday.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, bro, happy birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chong's is in December, right?
There you go.
Yeah. December. Yeah.
I don't know, 21st or some shit like that.
Close. Higher.
23rd?
A little higher.
24th?
A little higher.
Wait,
27th.
There you go.
See, don't feel bad, Peterson. I don't know Chong's either. That's funny. Definitely. I think we should do like a one year gift exchange where we just like not like Christmas. I realize I'm describing.
I was just gonna say, you mean to tell me Christmas is what you want to do?
No, let's just do it in July or something like that. Just like the Sills brought up a good point the other day when we were talking about just like our annual trips. Yeah. And we've moved away from the topical, but so I was just talking about like we should set a day that's just like every year, like Labor Day or some shit like that, we just go on the trip, like, or around Labor Day. That way we all know like it's a standing thing every year rather than like try to figure out
right. You can plan better for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is valid points. I think that like makes sense. But I was thinking, like, like when we do our annual trip, we'll just do like an annual gift exchange with the trip.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah,
no, I like that a lot.
I'm in. I'm for it.
We just got to get everyone on board.
I don't think that's going to be a hard ask.
You know what? We'll see.
For sure.
Kev, you're the one that came up with this thing. How did you not bring a gift? Nobody reminded me. I don't know.
Kevin would be the guy that's scrambling in the international airport.
It's like, yo, this is, you got me a pack of gum. Thanks, bro.
I got you Tic Tacs and a pack of gum, goddammit.
But this pack of gum cost me $28, man.
I'm telling you.
Kev, this Coke that you gave me is half gone, man. What the fuck?
I got thirsty.
It's not even a bottle, it's a can, goddammit.
It's a can and it's open. That's good. That's good.
Speaking of, where are we going this year, boys?
This year, because next year is Greece and Istanbul, right?
Yeah. I mean, we are supposed to do an international trip. Technically, we had like the whole Arizona thing, but maybe during the summer, like July, August. I don't know. I don't know when your break is, PD. I don't know when Hector's break is. Maybe we can pull the trigger on a cross country train trip.
That would be nuts. Yeah, on the train.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if everyone's back in Arizona, right? I'm assuming maybe H, you might be back there. Chong, Peterson, and Anas are there. Take a little plane up to SF. We can kick it at either my sister's place in the city for like a night or whatever, my mom's place, whatever. And then take a train out of San Francisco. That would bring Harrison and Chong, if we, depending on the routes, back to Nebraska and to Chicago. And then it would bring me to Connecticut for a hot minute. And then I would fly back from Connecticut to Seattle. And then PD and Honest can fly from Chicago to Arizona, which would be cheaper, I think. I don't know. Like, we could work it out somewhere like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, that would be helpful. Yeah, that would be so much fun. No, honestly, we should do that, because then Sloan, you can come to Chicago, because I know obviously you've been dying to get out here.
Oh, yeah, that sounds unreal. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, we can, if we plan it right, we can get off other places too, obviously, right? Like, you know, go from California to Salt Lake City or something like that.
Can we go find the hostel with the nudist? Can we?
We can try. I bet you. Although there's a place, there's like a Mexican restaurant, that the Red Iguana in Salt Lake City. Fire.
Damn. Okay.
Still talks about the tacos to this day.
The Red Iguana. I thought it was going to be some like nudist community in Seattle. That's where I thought that was going.
No.
I'm going to be out for that. And then you said Red Iguana. I was like, nah, I'm really out for this, whatever this is. But
yeah,
that sounds great.
Yeah. That's amazing. Maybe we go to, like, I don't know, if we plan it right and there's snow on the mountain, we'll do like a snowboarding thing in Salt Lake City, like snowbird.
We should go to the Arches.
Oh, okay. I'm down for that too.
Yeah. Or like Zion.
Ooh, Zion would be dope. We could do a camping trip.
We could.
Instead of a train trip.
No, I kind of like the train trip, though.
Yeah, we can table the camping trip for another time.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
The camping trip, yeah. Yeah. Everyone listening is like, yo.
Yeah, they're like, okay, get out of here. Don't give a fuck about your mind. They have turned off the episode.
Yeah, right. Probably. But yeah, if you guys didn't know, it's a Catching Up podcast. Thanks for letting us in your ear. We are incredibly grateful. Of course, you can catch up with us on podcast services around the globe. And we got some special things in store for you for this season too. We're really excited about it. We can't wait to share it with you. So, yeah. With that,